Our special guest this hour, Frank DeMarco. We're going to take your calls. His book is called Rita's World. It's all about a person named Rita who he was conversing with about spiritual things, and then she died. But it continues, and we're going to continue in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Frank DeMarco with us. We'll get to your calls as well as we talk about Rita's World. Frank, first of all, for folks who want the book, where do they go?
Probably the easiest thing is just to go to Amazon. Amazon.com will have it Kindle or paper.
It's the best way to do it. Now, for people, this is something you may not have talked with the spirit of Rita about. But for people who live on this planet, and they're not good people, Frank, they're killers, they're murderers, they're whatever they may be, but they're not good people, what happens to them when they die? What happens to that soul?
Well, I don't think you're going to like the answer much, but they incarnated to represent those values. The things that we think of as evil, that are evil, you know, torturing children or animals,
or whatever.
Make a long list. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Those things are evil, and they are evil to our value system. I think they're evil absolutely. Nonetheless, we're in duality, and the understanding that we have is you can't have up without down, you can't have in without out, you can't have good without evil. So it's going to express one way or another. That's a sort of, it's not much fun to think of it that way. What we've been
No, I is, want fire and brimstone for them.
Well, but maybe they don't deserve fire and brimstone. Maybe they are like the actor who was in the movie who had the black hat on.
I don't know.
Well, I didn't think you would like the answer, really.
No,
and I'm
I don't.
Not sure I like the answer. I will say that when I was many years ago in another century, when I was a boy, I was in the Catholic Church and went to Catholic school, and they used to teach hate the sin, love the sinner. And I think this has a sort of a resonance to that, because you take someone like Hitler or Stalin or somebody or any axe murderer, and you look at them and you think, there is no excuse for this poor human being, you know? And they should be punished. But it just isn't that simple. I'm not sure what punishment would be either. Well, I mean, fire and brimstone, supposing you did that, wouldn't that be an evil act?
Do you mean the act of that by itself?
Repaying evil with more evil?
Well, I never thought of it that way.
Everything we've done in the Mideast, it seems to me, has been based on the idea of these people are killing. We'll kill them to show them that you shouldn't kill.
Well, but I don't, you know, I'm not a Gandhi believer in terms of, you know, going up to those kinds of people saying, we love you, don't. I think those people are insane, Frank.
Well, you're in a situation now like in the Bhagavad Gita. If you remember, in the Bhagavad Gita, there was a war, and the prince was talking to this god, and he said, why do I have to fight in this war? These are my cousins over there, and I don't care about this. And the whole point of the Bhagavad Gita was, yes, but you have to participate in your world.
Okay, let's go take some calls with Frank DeMarco. Fascinating. Let's go to Mark in Modesto, California to get things started here. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good.
Thank you, as always,
Thank
and the
you.
Crew.
They do the best.
Yes, absolutely. A number one. I think Frank is really casting along some really good information, you know, that you don't, it's rare information. There's always good stuff on Coast to Coast, but sometimes it's extra special information. I think he's really spot on, but I guess like everything else, it's in the beholder has to recognize it.
That's right.
But anyway, lately, this past April 2nd was my father's birthday, and he served on the USS Wasp. The carrier in World War II. He was on CV-18. And for the last 2 months, I've been going through his stuff and posting it online for relatives to see, because I never looked at it myself, really. And I've been kind of having the interdimensional Wi-Fi thing that he was talking about, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And getting input from him And I'm not a warrior myself. I have no military experience, and I kind of just had some disdain for the military. But through him, I've come to understand that all the servicemen, no matter what happens, how ugly it is or how good, whatever it is, they're all immaculate when they're serving, so they have no sin.
Well, no, I agree with that. And Frank, as we look at the original book you have, The Cosmic Internet, of course, I've always believed that we're all connected wirelessly in this life and the next. Is that a pretty good assumption?
Well, I'd like to ask Mark a question. Mark, when you did talk to your father, how did you do it?
It's just thoughts. I think everybody has this, and we don't recognize it. You have to become aware of it, or somehow I just became aware of it and realized that the thoughts that are coming into your head that aren't yours aren't yours.
And it was easy, wasn't it? It was natural.
Yes, very natural.
Well, Frank, let me ask you this then, and Mark, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. In terms of the other side, what is really happening there when one dies? Do people see the light at the end of the tunnel? What happens?
Well, let's hope the snow stops happening. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can hear that too, huh?
Oh, gosh, yeah, it's terrible. And I'm not moving at all, thinking, well...
No, you got a line problem. I'm pretty sure it's outside. Just tomorrow, call them, and they'll probably come back and say, yeah, there was a little line that was not connected right or something.
Okay. Of course, that's not going to help us now, but I'll try my best. Again, remember, Rita's description of what people experience, it has to be crammed into our three-dimensional way of thinking. But what she says basically is the first thing that happens is you lose your sensory connection to this world, of course. If you are in the habit of only getting your information through the senses, you're going to be lost. You're going to be totally bamboozled, okay? If you are in the habit of listening to your intuition, and especially if you've had spiritual practice of talking to others, you're not going to be so lost because you're already going to be used to having input that comes other than through the senses. But chances are the first thing that's going to happen is when you've lost your sensory contact, you wind up with your memories, and you sort of wind up replaying your life, and you sort of see it from a different perspective, because now you're not stuck in time. So now you're seeing it from various dimensions. You're seeing the other side of transactions with other people, for instance. In other words, you're seeing their side as well.
Okay, and Frank, Tom's going to call you right back, so I want you to hang up, and I'm going to do a little dance for a few minutes until we get you back on, okay?
Our best, okay.
All right, we're going to call you right back and see if that static can go away, and we'll get a better signal there with you. But definitely, definitely call your phone company. There's a line problem, and I'm pretty sure it's outside. I've heard that before, believe me. And they'll do their thing. So let's get you back on here. You back on there with me?
Yes, I'm here, but unfortunately so is the snow.
Yeah, it's gonna be there. Well, we only got about 35 minutes to go with you, so let's hang in there. And I do want you to take calls with our folks. Maybe Rita can clean up that line for us, huh?
Good thought. Hey, Rita, what are you doing?
Come on, Rita, clean it up. I would be amazed if something like that happens. I'm really a believer then.
Hear any snow, George?
No, I think it went away right now.
Rita, you're doing good work.
Thank you. Well, it's back again. So.
Well, I have to talk to her in New Jersey, you know, like, hey, what are you doing?
When you met her at 80, how long did she live before she died?
8 more years.
Okay, so she died at 88, same age as my dad. And now, when she started to communicate with you, were you surprised? I mean, did it, like, just appear?
Well, remember, she gave me a dream first to tell me what was going on, and I have communicated with people for long enough that it wasn't, you know, it didn't astonish me. I was pleased. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I'm waiting for it to clear up.
Yeah, but why don't we try Skype during the end of the break?
Well, we had tried that, and there was a problem with that as well. But I'll sign on while we're talking. Go ahead.
Okay. And let's go to Angel in the Intercoastal Waterway out there. Welcome to the program, Angel. Where are you?
Yeah, how are you tonight?
I'm great.
Good to hear your program. Call in regards to an incident that happened to me back in the 70s. I was living in Puerto Rico, and I had a friend of mine that, a friend of the family's, he was into the Santeria business, I guess you would call it. And he was trying to get in touch with a relative of my father, and he was actually was possessed by like three different entities, and in about a 45-minute period, he was having convulsions, foaming in the mouth, strange voices that were coming out of his mouth. It was a really, really traumatic and scary and strange situation. And then, yeah, my father actually thought that he talked to his uncle through his name was Pepe Gomez. He was a flamenco dancer, very famous back in the day, married to Lola Flores, a very famous dancer. And he was really, really into that Santeria situation. And it was really, really interesting.
Do you have a question?
You there?
Yeah, Angel, go ahead. We're having trouble with your of course, you're floating away on a tugboat somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm out here in the middle of the Intercoastal Waterway. Did you hear the story?
We heard the story, but did you have a quick question for us?
No, I just just wanted to tell the story about it and then the experience.
Okay, yeah, that got through. Indeed it did. Why are people afraid of the afterlife, Frank?
Well, I think it's a natural tendency to be afraid of the unknown in many cases, and there have been enough tales told, half understood, and some of them perhaps made up, that it does tend to scare people. I think, you know what I think? Did you ever have an experience where a woman in childbirth, and it's like the last, she's coming down to the last roundup, and she says, I'm not sure I want to go through with this. Well, I think we're in the sort of the same situation when it comes to dying and going to the other side, and I think that can be scary. I think people are going to, I'm not in control here.
I think probably for the people who are living, the scary moment is right before death, when you know you're going. You know, that's not a sudden thing, or you haven't died in your sleep or anything like that. But when you're in that hospital bed or somewhere and you know you're ready to go and you're going to go soon, I guess that might be a little scary, huh?
I think a lot of it depends, George. If people think they're going to be judged by somebody else, I don't know any of us that are all that confident how the judgment would go. If they realize that the judgment that they're going to come by is them judging their own actions, they might feel a little better about it. But I do think the judgment is one big thing. And if people are worried about hell, if they think there is a hell, and they think that someone else will decide whether or not that's what they deserve, whether George Norrie is going to condemn them to be killed or to be burning because they were a bad person, that certainly, I mean, that ups the stakes a lot.
Did Rita imply that she gets help from the other side? I mean, do they all, like, once they realize there's a connection between you and her, do they see her as a sounding board?
Oh, yes. In fact, I think that happens way more than we realize. In fact, years ago, when I first started talking with what we call the guys upstairs, they told us at one point, people are coming in and out of the conversation, and we don't have the fineness of hearing to tell the difference. You know, when you're in a conversation with the other side and it's coming through, sometimes I can say, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Rita. Other times, not so sure, you know. And for all I know, other people are coming in for specific bits of expertise, and they're not bothering to tell me just because it would interrupt the flow. There's not the difference there that there is here in the sense of distinctions, you know. Your mind and my mind are much closer together than your speech and my speech while we're in the body. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, George. How are you?
Great.
I wanted to ask Frank, the Bible mentions an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, is there anything in that message that you agree with?
Well, I think that message is a little misunderstood, actually. When they say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, I think they were saying no more than an eye for an eye and no more than a tooth for a tooth. Rather than saying you gotta get your pound of flesh, they were saying don't have a disproportionate response. But you know, that was thousands of years ago. I don't see. Here's my own personal view. I don't know what Rita would say about this. My view is all the scriptures were written as people's best understanding of what was going on and what their best understanding of what they were getting from the spiritual world. But times change, we change, the message changes. It's up to us to say, well, I don't know, does that work for me or not? It may be that if you're a tribe in the middle of the desert, you have to have laws that are harsher and more black and white than you do later, or possibly the other way around. Maybe they knew each other better because they were all tribes, you know. I don't know the answer to that, but what I'm saying is I think that all these things are not God putting something down forever that it has to be this way. Because if so, any woman who was ever married who wasn't a virgin was supposed to be stoned to death. I really don't think we're going to buy that today.
What did Rita say about the meaning of life? What are we here for, Frank, if there's so much going on the other side?
The meaning of life is to you are the flower that you are presenting to the other side. You're the gift from the 3D to the non-3D. You are a mind or a soul that can only be created in the physical world, but then becomes a resource on the other side, a valued resource at that. I really think, I don't know any shorter way to say what Rita's message would be. We're here to create ourselves, to make our own choices, and at the end, that is what we were here to do. That's why it's all free will, it's all choice. And nobody is saying, well, you made the wrong choice, you're going to be punished. And they're not even saying there's such a thing as a wrong choice, really, I think.
How does Edgar Cayce fit into any of this, if he does?
Well, Edgar Cayce was a great inspiration to me back in the 1960s, but I never dreamed that I would be doing anything even remotely like what he was doing, because he clearly had a special gift. I have a friend who has spent a lifetime studying these things, and I am imploring him to actually make the effort to correlate, you know, Seth and the Betty material and Cayce and what Rita says and what the guys say. It would be a fascinating thing to do. I'm not really capable of doing that, George. I don't have that scholarly or logical a mind, I'm afraid. If I bring stuff in, then it's up to somebody else to make more sense of it.
All right, Frank, we're going to come back and take some final calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. So we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to take your final phone calls with our special guest, Frank DeMarco, as we talk about Rita's World next hour. There's more on Coast to Coast, so don't touch your dial. Okay, welcome back. A bunch of phone calls for Frank DeMarco as we talk about the other side, Rita's World. Now, Frank, will there be a point where she stops communicating with you?
Yes, quite possibly. She may already have done that, in fact.
Has it been a long time since you heard from her?
Well, no, but I think the last was the 19th of March, and it kind of said that it might be the end. We'll see.
How long do you think you'd wait before you realize she's gone?
Well, she isn't gone in the sense that I couldn't contact her. I meant she's maybe finished in terms of what she was trying to setting out to do in terms of the three books.
It's almost like, conversations with God.
I think I've told you, George, on my tombstone, they'll say he turned down conversations with God, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's go back to the calls. We don't have enough time for all of them, but we'll get as many in as we can. Matt is in Alaska. Welcome to the program, Matt. You're on the air with us. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, yes. I had a question for Frank. How do you know that you're actually talking to Rita and not some demonic force or somebody pretending to be Rita?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I'm glad we got that in there, too. You know, there are a lot of questions that people trying to do this ask themselves and that tie themselves into knots. And one of them is just that question, how do you know who it is you're talking to? Another one is, how do you know that what you're getting is the truth? And another one is, how do you know you're not just making it up? And those are all good questions, but they can't actually be answered. The only question you can answer, the only question I've been able to answer has been, does this material that I'm getting right now resonate with me? Does it seem to be true? I'm using what Hemingway used to call the internal crap detector, you know. And if you get material and it is helpful, then you stay with it, in my view. If you get material and it doesn't feel right, then you don't. Always you're going to wind up going back to your own discretion, because there's no way to know. You know, if I were on the internet and I were talking to somebody who promised me that they had these credentials and they were giving me this information, I would never know. I would have no way to know other than the information itself. And that's how I go with it. I'm really glad you asked that question, because I wanted to get that in there. Thank you.
We've got Mike in Montana now. Mike, welcome to Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Mike.
Mike.
I just have one quick question. Mr. DeMarco, have you ever read any of the Gnostic Gospels, or do you have any comment about those documents? Because they kind of cover some of what you've been talking about.
I've read the Gospel of Thomas, and I found it very interesting because it correlated with some stuff that I had experienced. I think the Gospel of Thomas was probably not included in the regular canon, not because they were politically worried about it. I don't think they could make too much sense of it, or they were worried people couldn't make sense of it. You know, Thomas is the gospel that Carl Jung particularly cites. It makes a lot of sense to me, but it isn't obvious. You know, if you haven't had certain experiences, you're going to read that and say, this is gibberish, this doesn't make any sense. But if you have and you realize it needs to be read psychologically, it's very valuable. I take it that you've read them?
Yes, I have.
And same idea, same feeling?
Yeah, I feel like you have to have some pre-knowledge in a way, or some insight to understand them. But once you've read them, like you say, it's eye-opening and mind-opening. And
yeah, it's very, very great wisdom in there.
Thank you, Mike. We get lots of stories and reports, Frank, of what we call shadow people. And I don't think they're coming from the other side, where people's souls have ended up. But I do think they're coming from other dimensions, and somehow they leak in. They're here. Some of them aren't even aware that they're here. But a lot of people have witnessed, seen these entities. Does she talk about that with these other dimensions at all, or anything?
Actually, no. We haven't talked about that at all. I'm not really very familiar with it.
Do you get questions from people to feed to her, or is this strictly between you and her?
I have had questions from my list and from people who go to my blog, and thank you for mentioning that. My blog is hologrambooks.com, hologrambooksblog. And I'm very happy to get questions. And in fact, if people want to send them on my email, muddytracks@earthlink.net, I may not answer them the first day, but I will answer them. George, I think that whole conversational aspect is very important. And I suspect this is where a lot of non-physical communication is going to go. Rather than being one person speaking to the other side and no feedback to it, I think we're going to see the advantages of people working in community, because different people's questions asked by the person who's in connection will get different answers than he would have gotten himself. I think it's very valuable. Good idea.
Let's go to Iris in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Iris. Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Oh, hello, George. I'm so excited because I have listened to you for years.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you got through.
And thank you so much for this, Frank. DeMarco. I have been able to do this since my brother died in 1977, and I have lots of years of scribbles as well as just receiving without writing it down. Now, my method is I must relax, and I use my hand. An elderly woman in a book study group, we did Edgar Cayce and a lot of books, and she told me, said, when I was bemoaning the fact that he was gone, why don't you try to reach him, she said.
Yes,
and I said, well, how do you do that? And she, how would I do that? And she said, oh, we'll try automatic writing like that. And I did, and it, and I sat, I'm a retired teacher, and I was off for the summer, and I, after that, and I sat with my pencil for a long time and feeling absolutely silly, but there it started to move one day, and I knew I wasn't doing it because I'm all by myself. So I hurried up and called my sister, who lived not too far from me, and oh, then she said, you'll go crazy and all this, and you better quit that and everything. But anyway, I can't go on and on, but I want to know, I did want to, I have a question. Why do, Frank, why do I have so many synchronicities and brought to my awareness and just cluing me in all the time? And I have had a neighbor who passed away come in a dream. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm listening. Oh, I'm listening. Oh.
Synchronicities. Why so many synchronicities, Frank? Is it something that you develop, or what?
My friend Colin Wilson used to say that a synchronicity is the universe patting you on the head and saying you're on the right track.
So that's what's happening to her.
Well, it could be. I think it is. But you don't, you're not experiencing them as threatening, right? You're experiencing them as...
No.
Yes, yes.
They're welcome, always. And it's my brother, I know, who sends me all these wonderful... George license plates. I can go park in the shopping center and I'll be behind a car with a Georgia license plate. I'll go down the road in another way and there's a Georgia license plate that I see. All kinds of things. And I know it's real because he's the only one that called me red. I had red hair. Mother didn't like nicknames, and she didn't like that when I had five brothers, and he was the only one that could call me Red.
Well, now, you know, you're bringing out something important here. A lot of that communication from the other side is in just those things.
Oh, yes. I'm convinced, totally. And I've studied and studied. I've read Edgar Cayce. I've read the Gnostic Gospels, which I didn't really get very well with either. But Gospel of Thomas. I was told by this writing study Carl Jung, and so I did that too. And I sincerely believe I was communicating with Arthur Conan Doyle. And it was so exciting, and I've had so many wonderful awarenesses that it's so enjoyable. And I think nothing happens if you put yourself in the light, so to speak. Ask for protection, and you just feel it's good. And it has been very, very good. And I'm so grateful for George to have this program.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Iris. Go ahead, Frank.
Oh, no, I was actually interrupting her, which I shouldn't have done. I was just saying that you will know how it feels, and that's what you go from. You know, if you're getting a creepy feeling from something, stop doing it. Interestingly, her method is quite a bit different from mine. I tried automatic writing back in 1989, and I couldn't do it. I was waiting for the pen to take off on its own, you know, and it didn't. But I found that by being in a receptive state, but then having a question or expressing willingness to have something happen, then things began to go. There are all sorts of different ways to do this.
How close does modern religion match up with the things you've learned by, you know, this discussion with Rita?
Well, it's interesting. I was reading, this is not modern, but I was reading St. John of the Cross, which goes back several hundred years, and I thought, it's an interesting mixture, because half of it he's describing things and I'm saying, yes, I know what he's talking about. But then the other half would be rules that he was setting down or saying, if you don't do this, God will be mad at you, you know? And I think today in modern times, religions, this is a very broad generalization, but I think some religions tend to go more toward, here's the experience, here's the reality to help you deal with it. Whereas others are more toward, here's the behavior you must exhibit if you're not going to be in trouble. And you know, I'm not the best guy in the world, but I wouldn't do the things that they claim that God will do to you if you use your free will in a way that he didn't. It doesn't make sense to me.
It was a very angry God during the Genesis. Very angry.
And of course, it was a different time and a different place and a different kind of people. We as a species may have changed from that. It doesn't fit us today. I don't think it fits us.
Well, I don't know. I don't think we've changed at all, Frank. I think we're the still warring type humans that we've always been.
Now, I wasn't saying that we're better than we used to be. What I mean is our sensory mixture is different. The way we live our lives is different. The things we concern ourselves about, the use of imagination in our daily life, all of that is just, we're living in really a very different world.
Well, we are.
We're living in a different world from the one I was born into, let alone the ancient Hebrews.
Let's go to Austin in Lake Elsinore, California. Hello, Austin. Good morning.
Hey. Anyway, all right. Well, I've been a huge listener since I was a child.
Well, thank you, sir.
Of course. Thank you. And thank you, Frank. I honestly kind of got excited when I called and your screener picked up. I didn't think I'd be able to get through tonight. So I kind of forgot what I was going to talk about in the first place. So I might be off a little left field right now. Anyway, my wife's listening. Her name's Jennifer. We just got married last week.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It was great. So the afterlife stuff. And like I said, I might be kind of on the different subjects that I got on, you know, here a little bit late, got off of work. So my mom passed away about 4 years ago. And she's the reason that I listen to you, and I still do, and obviously Jennifer does now.
Great. And thank you.
It's obviously hard, but before she passed away, she said that, you know, she would leave signs. She would do little, you know, things like that. Like she said that she would leave pennies everywhere. So I said, okay. Back then, it didn't really make that much sense, but
pennies from heaven.
Louis Prima. I find pennies everywhere, and there's so many little signs, and it's hard for me to really think about it honestly, so I don't that much, which probably isn't the best thing. But anyway, it's hard for me to kind of really, you know, be really perceptive to things like that in life. And I mean, I'd love to get something else besides pennies, possibly, if there was a way for me to get into a more receptive state of mind, or just, you know,
I thought for a moment, Austin, you were going to ask for quarters or something like that.
Oh, come on. No.
Yeah, right. Well, no, just talk to her. Tell her you want more.
Well, you know, I mean, it would be great just to get a real sign. But, you know, who am I to say that they haven't been here the whole time? It's just maybe I'm not ready enough or not receptive enough to really pick up on all the things. But I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure I feel like, you know, since she's been gone, my life has just completely turned around and it's very blessed, but I feel like I've been guided. I just want to be more possibly, like I said, I kind of forgot what I originally called you guys for, but
go ahead, Frank, go ahead.
Why don't you just work from the assumption that she is actually available to you and talk to her, even if you don't think you're getting an answer. If you like writing, you could write a question to her and just make up the answer that you think she would make, because sometimes when you do that, you're priming the pump and it starts. But if you're not interested in writing, that's fine too. But just go through your day, or every so often, talk to her, which will help convince your subconscious that you have access. The only thing getting in your way, really, is there's a part of yourself that goes, well, I would have to traverse this distance. I would have to do X or Y, you know. But really, communication is very easy. It's so easy, it's embarrassing, the way Michael Harner said.
And Frank, let me ask you, unlike the other call that wanted to know, how do you know you're dealing with Rita and not some imposter? How do you know that it's not the little voice in your head as opposed to someone like Rita?
Well, you don't know. You really cannot know that. And it's not an important question. The real question is, does the information that I got resonate with me? Does it help me? Is it useful? Is it positive? If you do that, that's a question you can answer. The others are questions that you really can't answer. How would you know? Now, I feel like I recognize Rita's vibrations, whatever you want to call it, when I'm talking to her. But supposing I were wrong and the information were still right, so what? Supposing I were right and it was Rita, but the information is wrong, it's still wrong. The information and what it does to you is what you can judge. And as far as I'm concerned, that's really the only meaningful question.
Thank you, Frank. We are rapidly out of time here. And, of course, Frank DeMarco's book is called Rita's World. Next up, God Reconsidered. We're going to talk about some ETs and UFOs as well.